Once she even overheard Maester Tuthmuir's serving girl confiding to her brother about some message that said Joffrey was a bastard and not the rightful king at all. Lord Tywin told him to burn the letter and never speak such filth again, the girl whispered. King Robert's brothers, Stannis and Renly, had joined the fighting, she heard.
And both of them kings now, we said. Realms got more kings than the castles got rats.
Even Lannister men questioned how long Joffrey would hold the Iron Throne. The lad's got no army, but them gold cloaks, and he's ruled by a eunuch, a dwarf, and a woman. She heard a lordling mutter in his cups. What good will the likes of them be if it comes to battle? And there was always talk of Beric Dondarrion. A fat archer once said, the bloody mummers had slain him, but the others only laughed.
Lorch killed the man at Rushing Falls, and the mountain slain him twice. Got me a silver stag, says he don't stay dead this time neither.
Arya did not know who bloody mummers were until a fortnight later, when the queerest company of men she'd ever seen arrived at Harrenhal. Beneath the standard of a black goat with bloody horns rode copper men with bells in their braids, lancers astride striped black and white horses, bowmen with powdered cheeks, squat hairy men with shaggy shields, brown-skinned men in feathered cloaks, a wispy fool in green and pink motley, swordsmen with fantastic forked beards dyed green and purple and silver, spearmen with coloured scars that covered their cheeks, a slender man in septon's robes, a fatherly one in maester's grey, and a sickly one whose leather cloak was fringed with long blonde hair. At their head was a man stick-thin and very tall, with a drawn, emaciated face, made even longer by the ropey black beard that grew from his pointed chin nearly to his waist. The helm that hung from his saddle horn was black steel, fastened in the shape of a goat's head.